Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every day is not the same. Every segment is not the same. We don't have the chance every day to touch a legend. And that's what we're doing here. I'm not going to get too close. I can still swing it, I'm sure. This is phenomenal. I've never met George Foreman. I've never interviewed George Foreman. And George Foreman, of course, is in studio. Two-time heavyweight champ. 1968 Olympic hero, gold medal, and really, and I don't say this, you know, like stretching the boundaries, you are a social icon. I mean, in terms of a pitch man, first of all, it's great to have you here, champ. How you doing today, buddy?
Doing great. I'm happy to be with you.
You look good, man.
I feel good. Yeah. One guy told me I didn't look good, and it ended up in a fight.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Still, even at 70 years old.
An argument about this. You know?
Look, BT mentioned the 1968 Olympics, and, you know, that was an historic Olympics, and I loved the Olympics. I love track and field.
Oh, he's a track and field nerd.
And
he
so
loves it.
Bob Beamon at that Olympics. That was a John Carlos and Tommy Smith Olympics as well. But you were just telling us a story that Bob Beamon was the first one of you all to win a gold medal.
Yeah, he broke a world record. Couldn't touch that, and he came walking through the dining room with a gold medal. And then for the first time, we saw what it was all about. And we followed him like the Pied Piper. He was the wow,
I want one of those.
And I was fortunate enough to get one.
Yeah, when you think back to that Olympics, did you in real time realize that the social change that was trying to happen back then?
You don't realize those things. I think some of the other guys had met together. Harry Edwards, of course, down at UC.
Professor.
And Dr. Harry Edwards. Mm-hmm. And he had organized, tried to a boycott. But some of the guys said, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something else. And they all did some kind of demonstration because of him.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because that was the critical moment in sports for African-Americans
country
in a lot of different ways. And you were a big part of it because you won a gold medal that year.
Yeah, that's right. And it was exciting but we didn't understand the news back home. Mm. I remember one day we were all excited. John Carlos was the most hip guy in the Olympics. He smiled. Everybody loved
him. So he was doing it right in the village.
he was doing
the village, what you say there, George.
Yeah, he was the guy on fire there. But one day you saw this smiling face turn angry, and a lot of people following him around, media, and he turned around and said something. I could see it out of the dumb room. He was angry, and I didn't realize until later they had dismissed him from the Olympic Village.
Yeah,
all those years you wait and work to get there, they were telling him to go home, and he was angry and upset. I'll never forget the look on his face, never. I wanted to quit myself. A lot of us wanted to just go home.
Interesting.
Because of the look on his face.
But you stayed around. Wow. You stayed around. And,
he didn't advocate that. Yeah. You know, he was a team player.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he was there that night when I won my gold medal later on in Mexico City.
He was there.
He's strictly a team player, but he meant business with his demonstration.
For sure. There's no doubt about that. Champ, how does it start? I mean, everybody's path is different. We know Tyson, you know, just didn't have much direction as a kid, and he was taken in, and obviously, you know, you throw the hands at that rate with that force, you got a future. Every boxer comes up a little differently. How did you know that you had the special? It's not like basketball or baseball. How do you know that, man, this is something I can monetize, and this is something I can be great at?
I really wanted to be a football player. I was in school.
You look like a bigger Tinky.
You know, I was on the defensive tackler. 76 my number. That's all I wanted to be.
Okay.
But I tried out for boxing in the Job Corps, and then I went out for the football team, and the boxing coach saw me out on the line with my fingers. He said, no, don't put your fingers out of there. He said, you're going to be a boxer. He didn't want me to ever play football again, and Doc Broders insisted that I try boxing. And I tried it, but some skinny guy I couldn't hit. I wanted to quit, but he stayed on me. That's what happened in a Job Corps program. I had high school dropouts to get a chance to get an education again and a vocational skill. But I didn't want to really be a boxer.
Uh-huh.
Some guy said, George, if you win a gold medal, you could really make a lot of money. I still didn't want to be a boxer.
Huh. I want to sell grills instead. we'll get to that. George Foreman, of course, two-time world heavyweight champ, Olympic hero, 68, and the Foreman Grills, just one of the iconic pitchmen and really one of the good guys in our society. You just come across as incredibly pleasant. It's an honor to have you here. You know, and it's funny, a couple of scraps in the schoolyard, lost more than I won back then. I lost more than I won. But, like, you hear natural athlete, like, you know, natural quick twitch, you could run, even, like, natural catching of the ball, or is there such a thing as a natural puncher? Because the mechanics of punching are so different than what somebody like me, who doesn't really know how to fight, would do. Were you a natural puncher?
You know what happened was I started off as a baseball player.
Oh, now we're talking about language.
In Little League, and I could catch that ball. I could do all these great things, but I was always afraid that pitcher was going to hit me. I couldn't stand it. I dodged. And so when I got in the ring, it was like a pitcher is coming after me. I would get so scared and ball my fists up tight, look up, and the guy would be on the floor.
Huh.
I had no technique, but I had something to defend me from that baseball pitcher's hitting me with that ball.
Yeah, it's called fear.
And it happened like that. It was fear.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the one time I didn't have fear, I fought Muhammad Ali in Africa. I said, this is the easiest thing going to happen to me. I went in the ring without my fear of the baseball pitcher.
Yeah.
And there I am on the canvas. One, two, three.
Well, George,
had to have fear.
Why? Yeah. What made you
so confident? Muhammad Ali, man.
What made you so confident, though?
Ken Norton had beaten him up.
Oh, I see.
Jaw broke, and I knocked him out. Joe Frazier knocked him out, turned and flipped. I knocked him out. I said, I'm just going to be kind to this guy. No butterflies. I said, I love this.
Yeah.
Got in the ring and lost.
Yeah.
I always manufactured fear from that point on.
I tell you, it's interesting you say that, because as soon as you're not scared, I remember this, like, playing football. When you walk out and you don't feel, like, nervous, then something's off.
Yeah, I can see that. Right? Know it.
I can totally
feel something. You should be nervous.
Yeah.
You
always should have that, because especially with boxing, it's the art of self-defense.
Yes.
And you got to be able to be a little frightened to defend yourself. But once you lose that, you're just going out there waiting for someone to get you.
Yeah, squasher.
That's right. Yeah. You know, George, what was the key to your longevity? Because obviously the early championship we know about, but you were the oldest heavyweight to regain a championship. I mean, it was a long period of time that you boxed. How do you maintain that over so many years?
You know, and I was watching with one of my kids the other day, and I was, look, all the years I was in boxing, I never backed away from anyone.
Hmm.
And a lot of times you see fighters back against the ropes, and they never for me. If they got me, it was like in the middle of the ring, crack me. But I never did. Most of the time I was in the ring, everyone spent running from me.
Yeah.
They didn't have to. I felt like running from them, but it never happened. And then my wife, on the second time around, would drop me off, say, 17 miles from home. You have to get back the best way you can. And I love that lady so much. I said, I got to hurry back and get back.
That got me in shape.
17 miles running.
Wow.
I was going to be the best conditioned athlete alive at that time, and I did it. She didn't like that I did.
Miles.
I came back so quick.
I was going to say, you're back. He's back. Jeez,
man. Quicker than next week, it's 25 miles. They get another hour here by myself. George Foreman's with us in the studio. So obviously we're bouncing around, but there's so many things I want to run by you, and Tiki, of course, as well. Favorite boxing movie? Were you a fan of Raging Bull? Are you a Rocky guy, by extension a Creed guy? What's the most authentic? What's your favorite boxing movie?
Well, the old movie, Humphrey Bogart, The Harder They Fall.
I don't know that one.
I love that movie. It was the movie most about boxing.
Hmm.
It was all about boxing.
Okay.
You can campaign and do everything and get to be a great contender, even get a title shot. But the one time you've got to fight is when you get matched with the champion. They're not going down. They'll fight you down to the ground. Every contender has got to realize that one day in your life you're going to have a fight.
Yeah.
And that was a fact. Joe Frazier, I wanted that title.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali, he wanted it back. You're going to have to fight. And that if you're not prepared to fight, and The Harder They Fall, that movie was about that. campaign, but the title, you're going to have to fight for it.
George, the first title that you won, how did you celebrate that night? Do you remember what you did that night?
The one thing I hadn't had was all the water I wanted. And I had these bottles of water, and it was too late to order cheeseburgers, so I just ordered any kind of burger.
I would have been at the club, man. If I was a heavyweight champ, that's where I would have been going. But you didn't party much at all, right?
Not at all. No? I was a teenager, and I think I learned earlier, they don't want you at the party if you're going to – someone spiked the punch, I'd always end up fighting, and they'd kick me out, and the party would close down. This is like some athletes, you know. It's like, don't let him back in, because he's going to end the party. No more kissing and dancing. But I stopped – when I stopped that area, I never celebrated. Never even won the title twice, never had one – ounce of champagne.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Never.
Well, you know what they say, George. This is why bars and clubs don't hire boxers as bouncers. They hire wrestlers. Because you hire a boxer, somebody's getting knocked out. So something happens. You hire a wrestler, you just get them on the ground.
They'll
tap out. George, you spent a lot of time getting beat up, literally, figuratively beat up, and real-time pain relief. Has a George Foreman's formula now, knockout formula. Tell us about this for temporary pain relief.
And
it's
for
interesting.
The first time I see something that works, it actually worked. I've had old injuries, and I thought, it's not going to help this. Put it on after a couple of times. I wake up the next day, leg, hips, anything, I'm feeling better.
Yeah.
And the good thing about it, I have 14 grandkids, three great-grandkids. And they love to play with me. And I've been in a position where they came in and they smell other stuff and say, oh, Grandpa, hi, bye. Your room smells like granddaddy.
Oh.
But now this stuff, you put it on, they don't even know it. And they come and wrestle with you and play with you, and they don't even feel like you're some old grandpa. It doesn't smell.
Just the joy in this man's eyes. It is so authentic. You love life.
Yeah, life
that is so abundantly clear.
That's been so good. The greatest thing that ever happened to me, I told you early on, I went into the Job Corps program.
Yep.
They gave me 3 meals in one day. I kept thinking, I better take some of this home.
That's a good day.
After about 3 months, I realized it's going to be something here the next day.
Yeah.
And I ate. And since then, I've been able to champ the world, go out and buy a Jack in the Box and all of that stuff. I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
The state of the sport now, where do you see boxing, particularly the heavyweight division?
Deontay Wilder.
Oh,
he's boxing now.
Yeah.
And then there was an Andy Ruiz.
Yeah.
Oh, did he surprise Anthony Joshua?
Yeah.
Knocked him out. I mean, dropped him.
He did.
But it's great for boxing.
We're talking heavyweights for a change.
Yeah.
I love it. I think
it's
boxing
been a while,
is in a
though.
Great state.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked heavyweight.
Yeah.
It's one thing.
We need characters. We need,
that's a good point.
We need to gravitate to something more than a boxer's skill set. We need a person like Tyson was
personality.
Crazy.
Yeah,
Evander Holyfield was the polished pro.
Yeah,
you know, whether or not you respected or loved Lennox Lewis, he had a certain vibe. We need to be able to touch these boxers. That's what makes you pay the money to watch the fight.
Yeah,
more so than just the fight. You know what I wanted to ask you? If you were coming up now, do you think you'd be tempted to maybe become an MMA fighter rather than
a boxer? I wish it had
boxer?
Been on a scene when I was. In boxing, period, I would have dabbled into it easily.
Really?
Yeah, because can you imagine someone pulling the rope-a-dope on me and I can kick you off of there?
Bare knuckle, by the way, just about.
Bare knuckle. That's the way I enjoy fighting.
Yeah.
Wow.
I really love fighting. The first time I tried to box, they put me in the ring and the guy kept jabbing me. And I couldn't hit him, so I grabbed him. I tried to pick him up. They said, no, put him down. MMA was what I should have been.
So you were doing like Thunder Lips in Rocky III, basically. You were picking up Stallone, and you were trying to wrestle,
half
box.
They put people down, but I wanted to do it. I mean, so MMA is the great way to go. I wish it had been there all along.
I don't want this man to leave.
Yeah, I know. We can all define your greatest matches, but we're sitting on the outside looking in. When you think about like your best moment in a ring, what was it?
Oh, before the ESPN and all of the film that you see on television, there was a time when I campaigned everybody said, he's got money behind him. He's just an Olympic gold medal. You beat him. And they'd make these matches with me all around the country. And guys would think they could beat me. And I'd knock them out. So one guy was like, he was, they couldn't hold him back. I said, what's wrong with him? I'm going to show him something. He came out, and I missed him by a foot. And he felt the wind and held on to me. He said, they lied. Then I missed him by like 6 inches. He really tried to break my back. They pulled us apart, and I missed him by an inch, and he hit the floor. I said, man, get up. The crowd saw I didn't hit you. He fainted then. And later on,
like
I was
wrestling
so,
move.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I missed him. I didn't. Everybody knew I didn't hit this guy. So later on that night, I was disappointed and sad, and he walked up to me. He said, you really wanted me to get up, didn't you? I said, yes. He said, you wanted to kill me. I said, yes. He said, that's why I didn't get up. And for the first time, I understood boxing.
Yeah, that is
all
great.
All the time, you know, you better bail out sometimes.
That's wow. great.
Because what are you going to get?
That's great. George Foreman is with us. Unfortunately, we have to start wrapping it up. The champ, two-time
great story.
Champ, Olympic hero,
well,
1968.
Find that real-time pain relief.
Yeah.
George Foreman, the knockout formula, and, you know, you go to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it delivered to your house.
The next day?
And you won't smell like a grandpappy.
Like old Spice Bengay. Hey, champ, it is an absolute honor. I got to shake that heavy mitt of yours. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
That's
great,
an honor.
The absolute great, the friendly, the happy, the wonderful. This was phenomenal. And I know our audience enjoyed this. Thank you very much, champ. The great George Foreman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.